Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. It's Advent, so a very blessed Advent to you and all of yours. We're keeping in our prayers the folks down in Brazil today. There's a shooting in a Catholic church, and we pray for all those involved in that. This hour, we take on a little open forum. If you've got a question about the Catholic faith, it doesn't matter what the question is or whether or not you're Catholic, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. As a matter of fact, both hours will be open forum today. 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour, the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, Tim Staples. Hi, Tim.
Cy Kellett, it is good to be with you. This is weird, though. We're back in Advent.
Wait,
you'll have to explain that.
Okay, so about an hour ago, we were sitting in the same chairs, but we were pre-recording the New Year's Eve show.
Yes.
And so we were out of Advent. We couldn't say Blessed Advent or anything like that at that time. Although I might have forgotten to say Merry Christmas. It just gets confusing. We're doing so many recording this and recording that.
Yes.
And that we can't figure out where we are half the time here in the radio department this week.
That's right.
But it's good to have you back here in Advent from the future.
You
want to
hear
Christmas?
Something freaky, though?
Yeah.
At the same time, we were recording a show, so we were transported to New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
My wife was down the hall recording a show where she was transported a day forward into Australia. And so now we're back in Advent, my wife and I, and we're very confused.
I hope there's no adverse effects from all this time travel, the two of you have been
although
doing.
My wife was still in Advent tomorrow, but she just had to come back.
Yeah, just
you know,
right.
16 hours.
Right, but she was she on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe? Is that tomorrow?
That's
yeah,
right.
That is tomorrow.
That's right. And that's what the show was about. It was an Australian radio show on that feast. And, of course, my wife she teaches me a thing or four about Our Lady of Guadalupe. She has a great talk she gives on that. And if anybody would like her to come to their parish or event, you can, you know, get
she
a hold of
She is a really
wife.
Fine speaker. So she was
is.
Just talking about Our Lady of Guadalupe with them.
Yes, she was.
Ah, that's really, really cool. You know something about your wife? Sometimes when I'm like in Orange County or at a church event somewhere, I'll see another woman who looks exactly
yes.
like her, and it freaks me out. Have you ever seen this woman?
Yeah, it freaks me out, too.
Does it?
That's my wife's twin, and they are incredibly identical looking, even though, you know, they say, the doctor says they're fraternal, but
oh, come on.
I'm like,
I never would have guessed fraternal.
And they're not. They're not. Oh. The thing is back then, 40 years ago, they thought if there were two placental sacs, that it's automatic, it's fraternal. But now they know that's not necessarily true.
Oh.
So I tell Priscilla, Valerie, you need to get the test because I'll guarantee you they're identical.
They're clones of one another. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I might have said hi, Valerie, when I saw
it
your sister-in-law.
It happens all the
sometimes.
Time. Yeah.
888-318-7884 is the number here. It is open forum. Any question you have, whether you're Catholic or not, about the Catholic faith, about Catholic people, Catholic beliefs, what we believe about the Bible, why we practice the sacraments, what we think about the Pope, not our personal views about the Pope, although we probably could share those too. But I mean, what we think about why do we have a Pope, all that. Any
Amen.
Question, it's welcome, whether you're Catholic or not. Look at all those phone lines lighting up, Tim.
Amen, brother. Come on.
All right. Let's go to Nate in Dallas, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. I bet they throw a party at Guadalupe Radio Network tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm not sure, but I bet they do. Nate, your question?
Hi. Thank you. Good evening.
Yes.
I have a question on behalf of a friend who will have to listen to the answer later.
Yeah.
So when my significant other and I are talking about end of life, and I was wondering what's considered proper burial in the eyes of the church. So I'm Catholic and they are not. And I was wondering if we can be cremated and share an urn, if we could be or do we have to be considered married? Do we have to be considered married in the eyes of the Catholic Church, not just married outside of the church?
Right.
And can we be placed on consecrated ground? Can we be placed in a Catholic cemetery?
Right. Great, great questions all. Well, Nate, first of all, the church does permit cremation with caveat. As you may know, Nate, way back in the Middle Ages, the church forbade cremation. And the reason was the prevalence of the Gnostic heresies that had splintered and splintered and had grown around the world, famously the Albigensians in France, but there were other forms. And they had a disdain for the body, and hence they cremated the body because they believed that matter was evil. And that ebbed its way into the church and into the thinking of some misguided churchmen, hence the forbidding of cremation. However, in recent times, the church has determined that that's really not a problem today, at least not as it was in the Middle Ages. And so cremation is permitted. However, with the caveat that if the cremation is being done out of a disdain for the body, that would still be forbidden. So cremation is okay. Now, as far as let's take a husband and wife who want to be cremated and put in the same urn, that's not permitted out of the respect for the resurrection and the body. Each would be buried in a separate urn and placed in a sacred place. There does have to be consecrated ground. You're not permitted to, you know, for example, dump ashes on the ocean and that sort of thing. The priest can't bless the whole ocean and then, you know, and scatter them. Yes, that's not considered consecrated ground. So as far as the question about folks that are not married, that question is already answered, because even if you are married, you can't be in the same urn, because again, out of the respect for the body, the resurrection, and each individual person being essentially a body-soul composite, that is symbolized and kept intact by having an individual coffin. Now, you do have, with married couples, you have buried right next to each other. You know, my mom has a spot waiting for her next to, actually they'll be in at Quantico Marine Base. They'll be on top, I think she will be on top, but you can do on top, beside, and that sort of thing, but not in the same casket. Okay.
So, does that work for you? Is that what you were looking for?
That is, yes, but I had a couple of other caveats on that, such as if one spouse was a Catholic and the other wasn't, and married on consecrated ground versus Catholic cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yes, it would have to be consecrated ground, and so you would get permission from the local bishop. Each diocese, thanks be to God for these things, these wonderful people we called bishops.
Yes.
Each diocese should be contacted, and then the diocese will direct you as to where a Catholic can and cannot be buried, and proper dispensations and such. But remember, as married outside of the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church, for a Catholic married outside of the church, they will not be buried as husband and wife because they were not.
Oh.
So that's the general, you know, practice of the church. Now, of course, there can be extraordinary circumstances. So once again, you know, marriage in secret and all sorts of extraordinary circumstances that are possible. So always we say consult the local bishop, local chantry office, but that's the general rule.
Nate, I hope that is very helpful to you. It is open forum today at Catholic Answers. Tim Staples, the author of Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, is our guest this hour, and you are welcome to call with any question you've got. 888-318-7884. Right now, we've got the ongoing and revolving store-wide Christmas sale going on. I mean revolving because there's different deals on different days. Today until midnight, we're offering free shipping in the continental U.S. on the book Why We're Catholic. So order yours today, and if you're in the continental U.S., you will get free shipping. All of our digital products, ebooks, e-magazines, and MP3s are 50% off all week this week, and you can also save money on hundreds of other items in the shop. Just save 30% by putting in the promo code CALIVE18 at checkout. Put in the promo code CALIVE18 and you will get 30% savings on a whole bunch of stuff at shop.catholic.com.
Hi, this is Trevor Williams from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com. The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Every single day, I get to help our listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show wake up, find out what's going on in the church and the world, and then walk with them as we all seek to grow in knowledge and love of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. I mean, how could it get any better?
The Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swain. Tomorrow morning, 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, open forum. Tim Staples, our guest, and your call, always welcome, 888-318-7884. We go now to Tito in Houston, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Is it because tomorrow is the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe? It's all Guadalupe Radio calls
hey,
so far.
I love it.
Tito, your question for Tim.
And Tito, that is a cool name.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, yes. My question is after Noah passed away,
yes,
the belief in the one true God, what happened to those, to his descendants all the way up until Abraham?
Mm-hmm.
Why, if God had to reenter the world by right. putting Abram through his ordeal to become Abraham, and the Jewish people became existed,
yes,
then what happened between those two bookends?
Apparently, they
lost their faith in one God.
Yes, that is a great question, Tito. And there's not a lot revealed in sacred scripture about that time. What is revealed is exactly what you said. After the time of Noah, like the time of Adam, it became increasingly decadent. And the further, I love the image from, you know, to back up to Adam and Eve, the image of, you know, the long years from Adam and Seth and such that lived along 900 years. And then as sin proliferates, say that five times fast, proliferates, the years get shorter and shorter and shorter. I think that's a symbol, but a powerful symbol of the effects of sin. But sin proliferates to the point where by the time of Noah, he and just the eight were the last of the righteous. So it was a terrible time. By the way, Tito, I don't know if you saw the movie Noah. I'm one of the few. I don't know why that got trashed by a lot of
Catholics.
Oh, my gosh. I love that movie.
Really?
I thought it was profound. If you're looking for a strict, you know, from the Bible movie, it's not. I mean,
it's not a very long story in the Bible.
Exactly. It would be a very short movie. But I thought what was beautiful there is that they did depict there were some who believed in the one God, but it was a terribly corrupt time, and the corrupt culture was encroaching even into the life of Noah and his family. And you could see, it was a powerful movie about that. And I think, Tito, we could say similarly about the time after Noah, up to Abraham, you would have had originally faithful believers in one God. But what you saw, what you would have seen, Tito, is exactly what Paul describes in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 29, where he says, although they knew God, they refused to acknowledge him as God and give thanks to him as God. God, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And then what happens? They begin to worship all manner of four-legged creatures. Because as you know, Tito, our intellects are ordered toward knowing the ultimate truth, which is God. Our wills are ordered toward choosing the ultimate good, which is God. We are made, therefore, to worship God. And if we do not, you reject that, then what follows is insanity. You begin to worship all manner of four-legged creature. And, of course, this results, according to St. Paul, in men burning with lust toward men, women toward women, And, you know, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So, Tito, I think that seems to be, in general, what we see in Revelation, that by the time of Abraham, that it had become so barbaric and sinful that there was virtually no faith left. Now, at least in the one true God. Although, Tito, I think like, I'm using the movie here, Noah, like in the movie Noah, though, it doesn't mean there couldn't have been, you know, a smattering of people. And I believe there would have been a smattering of people who did retain belief in one God. This is something that can be known through the natural light of reason, as we know. But that encroaching power of the world, that, you know, the devil, the flesh, and the world would have been so powerful, like the in the movie Noah, it would have been difficult. You know, another wonderful movie that really depicts this well, I don't know why I'm getting on movies, Tito, but Apocalypto of Mel Gibson.
Right.
Even though I had some unnecessary scenes that I wish could have been excised, powerful depiction of the, you know, the Aztec, Mayan, that culture of just bloodthirsty, yeah. That culture of death. I mean, very analogous to our culture today, I think, the way it was portrayed. So really not surprising in that context when you look at Romans chapter 1 and how that rejection of God leads to all sorts of darkness, how that could come about. Does that help at all, Tito?
Yes, yes. My final on the same question is,
yeah.
Is there any book that you're aware of that you could recommend about the time right before Abram appeared in history? And I was just thinking, you know, with the exception of the Zoroastrians,
yeah.
who are questionably monotheists, were there any other groups out there that still believed in the one God?
Yeah, I believe there would have been. I can't think of any as you know, off the top of my head. I would recommend, though, reading the Old Testament by Father Lawrence Boat. Excellent, excellent book. We read that in seminary 100,000 years ago. I still have it on my shelf. It's fantastic. He does give a lot. I can't think of any particulars, but I would bet the house you're going to have some in that book. He does an excellent job at painting a picture for us of the culture at the time of the Old Testament. At any rate, reading the Old Testament by Father Lawrence Boat, I would recommend.
Tito, thanks very much. Hope that was helpful to you. It is open forum. Tim, I have not been taking very many questions from Facebook and YouTube lately, so I got you one from Facebook.
Let's do it.
Nancy on Facebook. Tim Staples and Cy Kellett, can you please explain Revelation chapter 6? ? Pretty please.
Okay, well.
I'll just answer for me, no.
yes. Well, this is considering the seven seals. It's a famous text from Revelation chapter 6, where we have it. It starts off, now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say, as with a voice of thunder, come. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. Its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Basically, you know, in general terms, and I didn't get the name here. Is this Nancy?
Yeah, Nancy.
Okay. Nancy, in general terms, I like to use the Augustinian caveat. I think it's in City of God where St. Augustine famously warns against placing particular times into the books of Revelation.
Okay.
Say, this king is this king, and this is, you know, Barack Obama, and this is Donald Trump, and this,
you know. Yeah.
Because
Hal Lindsey kind of.
Yes,
stuff.
Exactly. You get reduced to tomfoolery. But I think if you keep it in the general sense of what's going on here, is that the Lamb of God is he. We saw back in Revelation chapter 5, he is the only one worthy to open the book and to release the seven seals, which represents. This is, go back to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and all the way through. Basically, John is seeing into heaven, and he's seeing the divine liturgy. He's seeing the worship that's going on in heaven and that we are caught up into when we celebrate the Mass. And basically, this is all about how the interaction between heaven and earth. So if you want to get on the action, it's not in Washington, D.C. It's not in Moscow. It's not in Paris. It's at Mass. This is where the world is changed, mm-hmm. is at Mass. I wish Catholics would realize this when we go to Mass, that we have the greatest power to affect change in our culture when we go through the doors of a Catholic church and experience the Mass. And so this is what's happening here, is Jesus is unleashing the seals. What does that mean? Well, whether it's reading the word, proclaiming the word in Revelation 5, or now unleashing these seals, this represents how the Mass simultaneously, if you think about it like the Passover.
Okay.
And of course, the Mass is our Passover, according to St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, right? Simultaneously, when we go to Mass, we are receiving the blessings that come from the altar, which is what we see throughout the book of Revelation, while the world is experiencing what? Judgment, power. And to the extent that we are in union with Jesus in the Mass, we're experiencing the blessing. But guess what? If I go to Mass and I have mortal sin in my life, and I'm there pro forma, mm-hmm. and I'm not really there. I'm what Lumen Gentium 14 describes as a Catholic that's there in body but not in spirit. All of the seals and the judgments are falling on me.
Okay.
Right? To me, this is an image that really helps me to make sense of the book of Revelation, and it really vivifies it when you read it. So think about it in that context, that we are experiencing the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ that at once saves all who will cooperate and is the judgment upon all who will reject God. We are experiencing that every day when we go to Mass, every Sunday when you go to Mass. And so seals and the people will say, man, why is there so much negative stuff in the book of uh-huh. Revelation? I mean, blood up to the horse's bridle and all.
Yeah.
My goodness, not all that uplifting. No, that is powerful, my friends, because that is reality. If we're with Jesus and we're in communion with him, there is what? 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There is no power that can touch me on this earth, right? Romans 8:35, one of my favorite, I quote it probably too often. I love it. Well, you can't quote it too often, but you know, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword? For as it is written, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We are killed all the day long. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. This is what is happening in the book of Revelation. So that the people of God are in the midst of the judgment that is falling all around the world when the seals are opened and such. We're blessed right in the middle of it with all the, you know, so, you know, we have nothing to fear when we are living in him, with him, and through him. All that we do, as you know, the priest says in the liturgy, quoting Romans chapter 11, verse 36. So that's kind of in general terms, without diving into all the particulars.
Thank you, Nancy from Facebook. And lots of folks ask for us to answer questions on Facebook. I don't always get to them. But if you use the words pretty please with like 20 T's and a whole bunch of E's, I'll probably notice it. Let's go to Kylie in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio 102.7 FM. Kylie, your question for Tim Staples.
Hi. I know that God is good and loving. I believe that, obviously. I'm Catholic, but I was curious why baptized innocent infant babies have to suffer and get serious diseases.
Yes, yes. That is at the heart of the great mystery of iniquity, as St. Paul describes it. And ultimately, we do have to say that evil, there is a great mystery involved, at least this side of the veil. We will never know why each and every particular baby or particular person, for that matter, suffers. Even though we can get insights as to why even individuals suffer. For example, Kylie, you may have heard of St. Paul's famous 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6, where he talks about, he says, the messenger of Satan was sent by God to buffet me. All right, what in the world does that mean? The messenger of Satan sent by God? Well, at times God allows the devil into our lives, but always, as you, I think, rightfully pointed out, Kylie, God has nothing but good intentions for us all the time. So even when he allows, like he did with St. Paul, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, he called it, gave him the thorn of flesh, it's ultimately for his good. Now, Kylie, hang on for a second, because I want to come back after the break and we'll put a bow on this for you.
Thanks, Kylie. We'll be right back if you can hold on. It is open forum today at Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples, our guest this hour. Patrick Madrid next hour. Our number, 888-318-7884. More after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
Advent is upon us and Christmas approaches. Catholic Answers wants you to know about our annual Christmas sale with hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter the promo code CALIVE18 at checkout. With great new products on doctrine, church history, morality, apologetics, and much more, there's simply no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to shop.catholic.com today to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the internet going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter promo code CALIVE18 at checkout and save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humanae Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Pope Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, Five Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humanae Vitae. We asked five distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humanae Vitae from five perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and coworkers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
Tomorrow on More to Life, don't be afraid.
We celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe by increasing your peace.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Tim Staples here in studio with us, and we were talking with Kylie in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio before we went to the break. Kylie wanted to know, if you have a baptized baby, it's free of sin. Why could a baby get sick and suffer then?
Yeah, I was laying out a principle for Kylie first as to one reason why God allows suffering in the lives of believers in general, with St. Paul, who, you know, it was the messenger of Satan, as he says, sent by God that put this thorn in the flesh on him. But Paul had it revealed to him. And I wanted to say this to Kylie, because at times it can be revealed to us through private revelation, inclination, or, you know, we can discern into at least some of the reasons why things might happen.
Yeah.
And we can see how good comes out of them, for example. Well, Paul received a revelation from God on this, which is kind of nice. You know, he says that the thorn in the flesh was given him, and he asked the Lord three times to remove it, and the Lord said no, basically. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for in your weakness I am made strong. And so Paul says, I will therefore glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may dwell with me. So that's a powerful text there that shows. Now, Kylie's question, though, is about the infant. So, okay, I can see that in the life of Paul, how, you know, it's keeping him humble and stuff. But what about this infant baby? Well, what we have to do is establish two more principles. Number one, we know, Kylie, there would be no sin or sickness whatsoever if it were not for sin. God created Adam and Eve and the creation itself in perfection, even though it was in a, as we say in Latin, in statu vie, it was in a state of journeying toward ultimate glory. It did have its perfections, at least in part, and such, to where there was no suffering, there was no death, and so forth. Adam and Eve had perfect integrity, right? Their intellects with their lower natures, and so there was no concupiscence. Wow, doesn't that sound great? No concupiscence,
yeah,
and such.
Right.
Right. So God created things all, as we see in the creation story, right? Good, 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 very good, right? I think I did that right. All right. And it was sin that became that watershed moment where the sin of the devil and then of Adam and Eve that brought evil into the world, and then evil begins to proliferate. And so, Kylie, no infants would have ever suffered if we would have lived according to God's plan. Now, because of original sin that entered into the world, that's where sin and death and sickness, all of that comes from. And so an infant, because he or she is in that wayward state. Now, Kylie asked a good question here. What about the child who's baptized? Doesn't that take away original sin?
Yeah.
So why would they suffer the results of original sin? And that's a great question. And that's because even though the stain of original sin is removed through baptism, the wayward state is not. We are still in a wayward state. We have not attained the glory that will come at the end of time. And that's why our bodies decay, right? As Paul describes in Romans chapter 8, verse 23, he says, now, I love this image, our bodies groan together with the creation, right? The older I get, the more I feel, I can really relate to that groaning. My shoulder, my knee, my back, you know, I groan a lot nowadays, the older I get. But see, all of that is a result of sin and the wayward state that we find ourselves in. And that results in sickness of infants and so forth. But the good news is, Kylie, that even in the case of the infant who suffers, God has a purpose for it. And that's where, you know, I mentioned the mystery comes in, at least this side of the veil.
Yeah.
It's a mystery to us. Now, this isn't a mystery that we'll never solve. We will. There are some mysteries that will be a mystery for eternity, like the mystery of the Trinity, the Incarnation. But the mystery of evil will be solved. And in fact, you and I will understand it completely. We will. Oh, my goodness, Kylie, this gets exciting. But imagine for the mother who lost a baby at 2 days old or watched a son suffer and die at 2 years old. We will know on the last day exactly why that happened and how that worked into God's entire plan of salvation, how God works with free will that brings in all these evils, the natural defects of the creation itself, and how God allows, you know, the earthquakes and everything that happens to work together ultimately for the good for those who love God, as Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says. So, Kylie, we will know on Judgment Day exactly why that infant suffers. We can only, you know, say so much here. Because of our fallen state, we are going to suffer. There are genetic defects. There are all sorts of defects that have resulted from sin and the chaos and disorder that came from sin into the very created order that God did not originally will. But last thing, Kylie, that good news, man. This is the gospel truth. All things will, in fact, work together for the good. And we have it proof positive in Jesus. Oh, crucifix.
Right there.
Crucifix. There it is.
Sorry,
I knew we had one in here. We have it proof positive right here, because this is the ultimate. This is an important point, Cy.
Okay.
Because this crucifix represents not just the greatest evil, but the greatest evil possible.
Mm, right.
There is no greater evil possible than killing God. And yet God brings the greatest good out of this evil. Not that the evil is good. No, it's not. But God in his omnipotence brings good out of it. Well, if he can do this with the greatest evil, then that baby that suffers and every other suffering pales in comparison to this. So we can know by faith that God is going to bring good out of that infant who suffers. And you may say, well, gosh, that's not something to say to a mom who is in the midst of suffering. You know what? Sometimes that's true. The only thing you can do is hug her.
Yeah.
Be with her, pray for her. But you know what? I believe there is a time when the pain begins to wane and the rational faculties begin to return to where we can share these truths. That, you know what?
Yeah.
God has a plan, and your baby did not suffer in vain. God is already. And if we look, Kylie, at our own lives, we can see how if we trust in him, God already begins to bring good out of it, because the mother's heart who is breaking is being deepened in her love and in her faith in ways that she doesn't even realize the time.
Yep.
But years later, I know as having lost two children myself with miscarriages with my wife, the pain that we experienced, especially our first. But yet we can look back years later and see how God worked to bring us together mm-hmm. in a deeper way.
Yep.
And we experienced just the people coming to us and God bless you. We're praying for you. We love you and so forth. I mean, God works miracles when we allow him to.
Kylie, thank you very, very much for that question. I really like that point. It's not helpful to go to grieving people with your theological explanations.
No.
As a matter of fact, it can be mean. Or just thoughtless. Like, God has a plan for it. Well, maybe this is not the moment.
Yeah.
You know? But it is, it's so important to actually know it, though, because it gives us so much hope for what we will know.
And really, Si, yeah. it's learning your catechism now. It's really, our lives should be preparation. This is why we pray every day, lots of rosaries, right? I try to pray a rosary every day, Si, and every one of those help pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Our whole lives should be preparation, not just for the hour of death, but for the hours of trials that we experience, because I believe that all these rosaries and prayers we say now and when we wear our miraculous medals and such prepare us so that the grace of God is there at that time where we can endure it.
Thanks again, Kylie, for that call. We go now to Angie in Akron, Iowa, listening on Sioux City, Iowa Catholic. Angie, your question for Tim Staples.
Hi, I'm so glad that I was able to talk to you because I've really been shook.
Okay.
I was born and raised Catholic. I went away from the church. I came back and I went away again. And now I want to come back. My whole life, I've been raised to vote Democrat, especially since my parents were, in the days of JFK and
yes,
all that stuff.
Sure.
Now, with Donald Trump and the whole Kavanaugh issue, I'm a victim of molestation for very many years, and I never reported it because, you're scared and stuff.
Sure.
And I was listening to Catholic radio.
Yeah.
And the priest was like, we shouldn't judge, Kavanaugh, blah, blah, blah. Well, then I was at work one day and somebody was talking about Judge Kavanaugh and they're like, well, of course the Catholic Church supports him. Why wouldn't they? Look at what's going on in the church. And I just felt physically ill.
Yeah.
Right. Mike,
that would hit you.
Yeah. Well, Angie, that's a very odd, I can't even imagine who would say something like that. Of course we have to judge Judge Kavanaugh. In fact, we have to judge the actions of everyone, right? You know, Angie, one of the biggest myths you hear today in our popular culture, and unfortunately even among Catholics, is this idea of judge not. Or taking Pope Francis completely out of context, as if he meant we can't judge anything or anyone or any action. You know, when Pope Francis said, "Who am I to judge?" he was talking in the context of someone who is suffers with SSA and is trying to do God's will. Who am I to judge? In other words, he's talking about judging the motives of an individual. No, we pray for the individual. We love them, right? But of course, Angie, we judge the actions. You know, it was Jesus, you know, the same Jesus who said, "Judge not," which obviously in context, he's talking about judging rightly. And all you have to do is read a few verses, because when he says, "Judge not," he then says, you know, be careful, basically, that you remove the log out of your own eye.
Yeah, right.
Then you can see clearly to remove the little, what is
splinter?
He
using?
Yeah, the splinter in your neighbor's eye. So obviously, he's not saying you don't judge at all, but you don't judge other people more severely than you judge yourself. I mean, it's unbelievable how that verse of Scripture just gets completely destroyed. Now, of course, Paul talks about, Angie, 1 Corinthians 4:3-6, how we don't judge anyone in any way when it comes to their internal motives and their eternal destination. That's God's business alone. Paul says that explicitly in 1 Corinthians 4:3-6. He says to the Corinthians, "It's a very small matter for me to be judged by you or any man's judgment. I don't even judge my own self," he says. "I have nothing on my conscience, but I am not thereby justified. The one who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge not until the Lord comes. Then shall the hidden motives of the heart," there's the key, "hidden motives of the heart be manifest, and then shall each man have his reward from God." So notice, we can't judge the inner motives or eternal destination of souls. But of course, Jesus in John 7:24 says, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Right? Now, how in the world could Jesus say judge people? Well, he just did. But of course, not motives and such, not unjustly, but judge righteous judgment. So of course we have to judge Kavanaugh. Thanks be to God, you know, he was judged. Now, you and I, Angie, might disagree as to whether Judge Kavanaugh was actually guilty as charged. Angie, my view of the thing is that there was certainly no evidence, and the testimony of one person is simply not enough to, you know, send somebody to jail. You know, even in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 17, you have to have one or two witnesses, and you know, we have to have witnesses. And Angie, there were no corroborating witnesses. In fact, witnesses that were mentioned by Ms. Ford actually denied it or said the opposite, or said, you know, "I don't know what she's talking about." So I can see, Angie, why somebody might say, you know what, I would be against, you know, destroying a man's life or saying he can't be on the Supreme Court when there's no corroborating evidence. That I can see. But this idea that we can't judge, Cy, no. Where in the world does that come from? Number one. But number two, the Catholic Church does not have a position on Judge Kavanaugh. You know, the yeah. Catholic Church does not speak to these matters. These are political matters. You and I, as Angie, as lay people, we should get involved in these situations. We can disagree. You know, you may say, "Well, I believe the one person's testimony," and hey, that's fine. Although I would still argue that is not enough to put somebody away. But we can have, you know, disagreements on that and be friends and be Catholics and all of that. But please do not fall prey to this myth that somehow the Catholic Church is for Kavanaugh or the Catholic Church is Republican.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, don't say that to Pope Francis. But, you know, now, Angie, I would argue with folks, I don't see how you can support the Democratic Party in the United States. I would argue that this is something Catholics can disagree about, because when I look at the Democratic Party that officially supports abortion all 9 months, that officially supports homosexual marriage that is not marriage, officially supports and continues to support these grave, grave evils, I have a difficult time, and I ask my friends all the time who are Democrat, how in the world can you do that? But that's something Catholics can disagree about. And
sure.
we can say, you know, folks can argue, you have Catholics for life. Well, we have one less now. Joe Donnelly lost.
Oh, right.
I don't know.
Democrats for life, you mean?
Yeah, what did I say?
Catholics for life.
Oh, no, I meant, Democrats for life, although there's very few left.
I know, but we can pray for a resurgence.
Yes,
everyone
absolutely.
Everyone should be pro-life.
Absolutely. The key is, my friends, and Angie and everyone, the Catholic Church calls Democrats, Republicans, Independents, calls everybody to repent. And that's the key.
Yep.
The Catholic Church, remember this, Angie, paragraph 2246 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church says it's part of the mission of the Church, the essential mission of the Church, to speak to matters political whenever the essential dignity of the human person and the salvation of souls requires it. This is why we at Catholic Answers speak to matters when it talks about abortion, you know, euthanasia, my goodness, killing people. Now we have state after state, I think we're up to 7 states now that are allowing physician-assisted suicide, which is just a euphemism for legal murder being extended, you know, euthanasia, you name it, to now human cloning being experimented with, and embryonic stem cell research, homosexual marriage, these sorts of things. Of course we've got to speak to these
just
matters.
Like in an earlier time had to speak about child labor laws,
yes,
or about unions and that kind of thing at the end of the 1900s.
Absolutely. And now matters of religious freedom, since that was thrown out of whack, especially with the last administration coming after the Little Sisters of the Poor. You know what? If somebody's going to tell me, as a Catholic, I can't speak up for the Little Sisters of the Poor, you got a problem with me, my friend, because when the government comes out, I mean, my goodness, when you think about it, just as PR, I would have a message for the Obama administration. Don't go after the Little Sisters of the Poor. You want to talk about bad optics?
I know so many Democrats who said that, who were like, what is he doing
going after
the Little Sisters of the Poor?
But see, that's an example of how, yes, we have to speak to matters political, absolutely, but we have to draw the lines here as Catholics properly and carefully. Once you start coming down on the side, well, the Catholic Church is Republican. The Catholic Church is in favor of
a particular judge or any candidate.
No, that's going way. That is not a matter for the Church to decide. That's a matter for we lay people to use the principles that the Church gives us to make a difference in the body politic.
Angie, we have to go to a break, so I hope that was in fact helpful to you. You're welcome to call anytime. I'd love to talk with you, just especially on open forum days, because then you can talk about whatever you want, and we appreciate the call. But I got to go to this break. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
Catholic Radio, I believe, is the greatest tool for evangelization that the Church has today. And I know this because we hear from people all over the world that tell us all the time they came to faith in Christ, in the Catholic Church, through Catholic Radio. Guy that lives right next door to you, he might not ask you about your Catholic faith, but he'll ask us. He'll call in and say, tell me about the Catholic Church.
Dr. David Anders thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. 2 hours of open forum today. Next up, next hour, will be Patrick Madrid. You know Patrick. And so if you're on the line and we get to the top of the hour and we haven't gotten to your call, just stay on the line. We'll get your call in for Patrick. This hour, Tim Staples, our guest. And remember, open forum means any question at all about the Catholic faith from anyone at all, whether you're pro-Catholic or anti-Catholic, whether you're former Catholic or current Catholic, whether you've never even thought about being Catholic. You're more than welcome to call 888-318-7884. And before we go back to calls, I want to invite you to come with us when we sail this February 10th through 17th aboard Holland America's MS New Stottendam, that we're sailing the Caribbean. We're going to hit Fort Lauderdale in the Bahamas, Jamaica, Grand Cayman Island, Mexico. We're going to talk about things relevant to that area, particularly Christopher Columbus and Hernan Cortez. We'll talk about the coming of the faith to the New World. But we're also going to talk about just about every other apologetics, church type of question. And we're going to have lots of fun and fellowship together. We'll have Mass every day aboard ship. Confessions will be available constantly. You're going to have dinner with Catholic Answers apologists Tim Staples and Carlo Broussard, our president Chris Check, the man who will be our chaplain for the trip, Father Chrysostom Baer and Norbertine Pryor of St. Michael's Abbey. I'll be there to carry the bags, and you can do all sorts of fun stuff, all the usual cruise stuff, but we're going to spend a lot of time visiting with one another and exploring the faith, sharing the faith with one another. You go to the Cruise Authority, and you can call them at 800-707-1634, 800-707-1634, if you'd like to join us February 10th through 17th on our Caribbean cruise. Or you can just go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com and sign up. Give them your email there. They'll get in touch with you, or sign up and just come, CatholicAnswersCruise.com. If you are so inclined, I think it would make a pretty good Christmas present. And you'll be there, Tim Staples, won't you?
Yes, I will. And I absolutely love it. Let me tell you.
Yes, I know. You love cruising and the Caribbean both.
I do. And I got a little thing to share with the folks. I love people. I do. I love hanging out with folks. I'm telling you. And we do. We have just glorious times on the ship. Hey, can I mention an upcoming conference I have?
Oh, yes, please. Where are you headed?
You know what?
I thought you were finally settling down for a minute and you're just going to spend time with the family.
You know what? This is exciting because as many know, I went from last year having a really bad year.
Yeah.
I had a lot of things happen in my life last year that it seemed like things were coming apart, and it was a really rough year, to this year just being an incredible, you know, it's like God has blessed my socks off and our socks off as a family. I can't even believe it this year. Among many things, I think I broke records for miles traveled, it's been a blessed year. But this is going to be my last talk of the year, my last conference, and it's here local, December 16th. I'm going to be at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton right here in Carlsbad, California.
Oh, you're going up
there. Yeah, so it's just a bit of a drive for me here. I don't even have to fly, but I'm going to be speaking on God is looking for a few good men. I'm going to talk in the context of the sacrament of holy matrimony, man's particular and unique calling to change the world. As you know, Kimberly Hahn famously says, we're going to change the world one diaper at a time, right? She has a beautiful talk she gives on femininity and changing the world. I'm going to focus more on the masculine side.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take the world for Jesus. But come to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, Carlsbad, California. That's going to be 7 p.m. December 16th. Can't wait. And then next year, I can't wait for another glorious year.
And we'll go real quick to Haas in Nebraska because we've made you wait a long time, Haas. Your question real quick for Tim Staples.
Yeah, hi, Tim.
Yes.
I have a discipleship group, freshmen, discerning, or they're getting ready for confirmation. They proposed the question of, can God build a rock? And I answered it, but they're in a Catholic school, and they've heard that there's no answer to that. Like, and I said, well,
sure
I think
there's.
You guys aren't learning basic logic. It's a misconception of what omnipotence means.
Correct.
And they're like, okay, can you explain? And I did, but it was like, I don't understand why. Is there like something that I can do as like a layperson to help
kids use logic? Can God make a rock so big that even he can't pick it up?
And the answer is no. You know what? One thing, Haas, some people don't answer it properly. They'll say that's a logical contradiction, which it is not. The answer is no in this case. You know, for example, a logical contradiction, God cannot make a square circle.
Yeah.
That's logically absurd. Of course he can't, because that's, like I said, logically absurd. But this is not logically absurd. It's because of, as Ha said, because of his omnipotence and his infinite nature, anything he creates is created outside of himself and therefore is infinitely beneath him. So no matter what he creates, it's not just smaller. It's infinitely beneath him. So, of course, he cannot create a rock that he can't lift, because anything he creates is infinitely beneath him. So that's the answer to the question. It's because he was all-powerful that he can't do that. Same way he can't lie, he can't cheat, he can't do a lot of things because of his perfection. Because if he could do it, he wouldn't be God.
Haas, it's like he can't sin. Yeah, Haas, thanks so much for getting that question out quickly. Right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.